Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Yes, Lord, I need to hear from you today. There are times when things just seem out of control, and so many people are angry. And their anger just causes so much harm to others. Lord, would you speak to us today? Would you grant us peace today? We trust that what we hear today will help us and to help others as well. And we pray for your wisdom today from your word. Amen. My friends, this is Don Crisp, and again, I want to just wish you a great day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we need to rejoice in it. You are listening to the Good News Christian Ministries radio program. If you wish to contact us, our mailing address is, again, the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario. That's KOG 1WO. And again, I want to encourage you to listen to this message today with a heart open. The Issues of Life series is before us, and today we are focusing on the issue of anger, and that's such a big issue. People often deal with depression, and they're not sure. You know, there's clinical depression and there's chemical depression, but, you know, also one depression that people deal with, Freud described it as anger turned inward because of unresolved conflict. I see that a lot in my counseling ministry. Let me say it again. Anger turned inward because of unresolved conflict in their lives. And they get angry at themselves. They feel so helpless and hopeless in trying to deal with it. And then we see these other forms of anger come out. And I want us to recognize that each one of us are dealing with this. Either we're a victim, or we're a violator, or we're an observer. So let's just listen to, first of all, what God's Word says in the book of Ephesians, written by the Apostle Paul. I just encourage you to read chapter 4, but particularly in verse 26. Well, let me start at verse 25. The Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body." Now here comes, verse 26. "In your anger, do not sin." Did you notice that? "In your anger, do not sin." So let me make that point just as I'm reading the scripture. Anger is not a sin. It's what you do with it. It's a normal emotion. We'll touch on that in a moment. "But in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And if you do, you'll be giving the devil a foothold in your life. So do not give the devil a foothold." Oh, how important it is. In fact, in verse 28, the Apostle Paul goes on and says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may be a benefit for all those who listen." You know what happens? People often get so angry, then they say things that they regret later, and they say unwholesome things. They say terrible things to one another. Verse 31, the Apostle Paul says, "Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger." Be why? Because that'll lead to brawling and slander. We'll say things that we don't really mean or shouldn't be said. And he says, get rid of all of that along with every form of malice. Actually, he closes that passage by saying, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God has forgave you." So it begins with anger. In your anger, do not sin. And it closes with saying, make this decision, be kind, be compassionate to one another, forgiving one another. Okay, let's get into this. Principle number one on the issue of anger. You know, I live by this, I teach this, I taught it to my girls, I teach it to my church, and I have to remind myself of this principle every day. Are you ready? Don't take offense, that's a choice, and don't give offense. Well, that's such a simple principle. Yeah, more difficult to apply. Don't take offense. someone says something, don't take offense. Choose not to take offense. And don't give offense. And that way we're not allowing unwholesome talk to come out of our mouths. Principle number two, ask yourself, was the person I'm angry with or I'm getting irritated with, was that person being intentionally hurtful and harmful? You know what? If you don't know, then why would you take offense? What you need to do, and what I need to do, is to stop, think, and pray. You see, if you don't know, give them the benefit of the doubt. If you don't know whether they're being hurtful and harmful, give them the benefit of the doubt. In other words, stop, think, and pray before saying a word. Stop, think, and pray before saying even a word. And it's amazing what God will do. Now, again, I said it at the beginning. I say it again. Anger is a normal emotion. In your anger, do not sin. That's what the scripture says. In your anger, do not sin. So it's what you do with your anger. And also, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Psalm 4:4, as well as Ephesians chapter 4. I want to suggest to you that there are four types of anger that's dealt with in the Bible. Four types of anger. You know, God taught on anger long before we started to set up classes for people for anger management. I want to say this. I would never send people to anger management classes. Really? No, you don't want to learn how to manage your anger. You want to resolve that anger. So I would indeed teach a whole different class, as I have in so many occasions. We want that anger to be resolved. We want to know what to do so that it will not lead into sin. We don't want it to spend all our energy managing us. Anger is a symptom of something else that's wrong. It could be a family trait. It could be just something that's eating away at you. Again, Freud said, depression is anger turned inward because of unresolved conflict. So let's look at these four types of anger that are dealt with in the Bible. Well, you know what? We deal with it in common life as well. The first is called, or I'm calling it, sudden anger. It's sudden anger. This is, I believe, learned behavior. How often do you hear people say, well, I know I just burst out in anger, but, you know, my dad was like that. My mom was like that. My grandparents were like that. It's a family thing. And, you know, you have to look at that and say, well, get over it. Just because it's a family thing doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it acceptable. The fact is, sudden anger needs to be controlled. Proverbs 14:17 says, a quick-tempered man does foolish things. Amen. We see it. We've experienced it. The bottom line is we have a short fuse. We're going to do a lot of foolish things, and we see people do it all the time. Proverbs 15:18 says, a hot-tempered man or woman stirs up dissension. They need to get that under control. That great philosopher of old, Will Rogers, said, whenever you fly into a rage, you seldom make a safe landing. How often have you seen people, or maybe you're one of those people, that you just fly into a rage, and later you look and you say, oh, why did I do that? Why did I do that? In your anger, do not sin. Proverbs 19:19 says, a hot-tempered man must pay that penalty. There are consequences when we're out of control. There are consequences. We see it all the time. We see people, men hitting women. We see men punching walls and thinking, well, gee, I've got this under control. I'm only putting my fist through a wall. I didn't hit her. Are you kidding me? Oh, my. Oh, my. This sudden anger needs to be controlled. Now, listen, you don't correct this behavior by means of punishment. You don't punish people who have anger, sudden anger problems. You must re-educate them. You must teach them a better behavior. This is a behavioral thing. Constant monitoring will be required to help them. We need to come alongside of these people who have sudden anger problems, who burst out with a quick temper. We need to come alongside of them, teach them a better way, and then monitor that behavior until it becomes a habit. The second type of anger we come across is what I would call sinful anger. Sudden anger, the first one, needs to be controlled. Sinful anger needs to be condemned. Sinful anger needs to be condemned. You know, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 speaks about getting rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. What's he talking about there? The fact of the matter is this. Sinful anger is when you get irritated and then you don't take control of that. Then you find yourself not just being irritated, you're now frustrated. And irritation and frustration produces anger. And then immediately you become resentful. That develops into an attitude. You know, you've gone from irritation, frustration, anger, and now you're in that space called resentment. And then if you don't get control of that, this is what happens. You become bitter. That's right. You become bitter. Have you been there? Have you seen people? They're just bitter people. And then if that doesn't get released, if that doesn't get controlled, the reality, they'll go into a rage. They will just fly off the handle into a rage, and it becomes sinful anger, and they even justify it. But I've been irritated, frustrated, I'm resentful, I am bitter over what's happened, and they fly into a rage. My friends, this is sinful anger, and this needs to be condemned. You cannot justify this kind of anger. We see it all the time around us. People saying, the only reason I hit my wife was because of what happened. She made me do it. Or the devil made me do it. Or we were living my life, I've got so much pressure in my life. I'm just so irritated at work. I'm so angry with what's going on around me. I just resent people. I should have got that promotion. I should be doing better. And they become bitter, and then they fly off into a rage. And indeed, their anger is sinful anger. Needs to be condemned. Sudden anger needs to be controlled. Sinful anger needs to be condemned. Thirdly, I would call this stubborn anger. You know anybody like that who has stubborn anger? Stubborn anger needs to be conquered. You know, I've had situations where I've gone into a home where I remember years ago went into a home of a young couple. They had phoned me to come over. I went over there. He's sitting at the table and realizing his wife was so mad. She was just ticked off. And she stood at the sink with her back to him, her arms folded, as she spoke to him and told him what was wrong. And I looked at her and I thought, your body language is revealing so much, isn't it? She said, well, I'm not saying anything that's wrong. I said, look, the fact is in communication, 7% of what we say is communicated verbally, and it's understood. Only 7% of what you say is understood. 43% is tone, and 50% is body language. So the tone in which you speak or communicate and your body language delivers a very strong, powerful message. And she was doing that day. She was embracing and indeed even heralding stubborn anger. Stubborn anger needs to be conquered. This is more about emotional control, by the way. Stubborn anger is about emotional control. Listen, your emotions were never meant to guide your thinking. You need to write that one down. Your feelings were never meant to guide your thinking. They were to reflect, but not to guide. You don't make decisions based on your feelings. You can't make decisions based merely on your emotions. I mean, we can imagine what would happen when we're angry, when we go into a rage and we're actually making decisions based on this. Perhaps that explains a lot of terrorism and a lot of things that are happening today. Perhaps that also explains adultery and fornication and people that are just making decisions based on how they feel at the moment. Listen, a person of integrity does the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not because they feel like doing it. Stubborn anger needs to be conquered. This is a passive-aggressive behavior. Passive-aggressive behavior. It's emotional control. Sudden anger needs to be controlled. Sinful anger needs to be condemned. Stubborn anger needs to be conquered. And fourthly, and I believe so importantly, sanctified anger needs to be channeled. Sanctified anger needs to be channeled. The issues of life are set before us. There are some issues in life that we ought to be angry about, and that needs to be channeled properly. In your anger, do not sin. Are there issues that you know you need to be angry about? How about morality or immorality today? Or shall we say amorality? Our culture today is an amoral society. We ought to be angry about that. The lack of ethics today, that makes me angry. The way in which people do things to other people, they steal, they lie, people committing adultery, people beating on people. You know, there's so many. We call this righteous anger. Jesus demonstrated this when he went into the temple and into his father's house and saw what they were doing. And he demonstrated anger. It wasn't a sudden anger that needed to be controlled. It wasn't a sinful anger that needed to be condemned. It wasn't a stubborn anger that needed to be conquered. It was a sanctified anger that needed to be channeled. And what he did is he cleansed the temple. He informed them, this is my father's house. What are you doing? What are you doing? And in fact, we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing about the abortion issue? What are we doing about the poverty issue? What are we doing about helping people that need to be helped? What are we doing about the issues of life that needs someone, a hero, to come alongside and to do something? We need to be so careful about anger. Again, the Apostle Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down. Don't give the devil a foothold in your life. Because if you do, unwholesome talk will come out of your mouth. You will grieve the Holy Spirit. We need to get rid of all that bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander. That's not of God. That's not of God, my friends. Chapter 5 of Ephesians says, it begins by saying we need to focus on being imitators of God by living a life of love, by living a life of light, and by living a life that will please the Lord. It was April the 14th, 1988. The USA Today covered this story. Now, have you ever noticed that sometimes we get angry and remain bitter with people and actually forget why we're so upset with them? You're smiling and saying, yes, we've seen that so often. You know, I go into pastor churches, and I've now pastored 5 churches. I'm still at First Baptist Church, Smiths Falls. I've been there for 17 years. But every church you go into, there's usually a group of people not speaking to another group of people. Or you can go to any club or any group where people assemble, and somebody will point out, well, that person's not speaking to that person. And when you ask why, often it's because people don't even know. Take, for example, the U.S. Today, April 14th, 1988. They covered the story of the notorious Hatfield-McCoy feud. Do you remember that? Some of you are old enough to remember the Hatfield-McCoy feud. It hit the newspaper front pages in the 1880s. That's right, 1880s, when the Hatfield clan feuded with the McCoy clan from across the border in Kentucky. Interesting. Historians disagree on the cause of the feud, which captured the imagination of the nation during a 10-year run. Some cite Civil War tensions. McCoys sympathized with the Union, Hatfields with the Confederacy. Others said it began when the McCoys blamed the Hatfields for stealing hogs. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? And as many as 100 men and women and children died over that 10-year period. Now listen, in May 1976, Jim McCoy and Willis Hatfield, the last two survivors of the original families, they shook hands at a public ceremony dedicating a monument to 6 of the victims, or to the victims that died during that 10-year time. Jim McCoy died February the 11th, 1984, at age 99. And he bore no grudges, and he had his burial handled by the Hatfield Funeral Home in Toller, Kentucky. Wow. This was covered by Peter Johnson, USA Today, April the 14th, 1988. Isn't that incredible? Let me just close with a thought or two on this. Erwin Lutzer, in his book Managing Your Emotions, he writes, we all know that Alexander the Great conquered the world, but what few people know is that this mighty great general could not conquer himself. Cletus, a dear friend of Alexander's and a general in his army, became intoxicated and ridiculed the emperor in front of his men. Blinded by anger, quick as lightning, Alexander snatched a spear from the hand of the soldier and hurled it at Cletus. Though he had only intended to scare the drunken general, his aim was true and the spear took the life of his childhood friend. Oh, yes. Deep remorse followed his anger. Overcome with guilt, Alexander tried to take his own life with the same spear, but his men stopped him, and for days he lay sick, calling on his friend Cletus, chiding himself as a murderer. And Lutzer observes, Alexander the Great conquered many, many cities. He conquered many countries, but he failed to do it miserably, was to conquer his own anger. You know, my friends, as we look at the issues of anger, let me come back to those two principles again. I think it's so important. Choose not to take offense. Don't give offense and don't take offense. If you're not sure, then choose to give the benefit of the doubt. And then stop, think, and pray about what's happening. Then go to the people and gather their perspective. Listen to them. Listen to their perspective. And then share your perspective. So gather and then share. So the first step is to stop. The second step is to think. The third step is to pray. And then the fourth step is to go to the people, gather their insight into what's happening. The fifth step is to share your insight. And the step number six is to negotiate understanding. That's how you handle these situations. Don't give the devil a foothold on these issues. Negotiate understanding between yourselves. And then together you can actually execute what I would call change or a decision for reconciliation. Oh, the process can be and is very, very clear. And we need to pray and ask God to literally help us in this process. Don't allow anger to bury you. Don't allow anger to defeat your marriage, your family life. Get a control on it. Would you now pray with me? Father in heaven, we are such emotional people. We're fragile people. Some of us flare up. Some of us blow up. The fact is some of us implode. Then later we explode and we catch ourselves trying to reload and we aim our anger at people. Oh, Father, we realize this is all inappropriate and we surrender it all to you right now. Lord, what we want to be is people of peace, but we realize that we are emotional people, so therefore we ask that you would help us, Father. Would you help us, Lord? Come alongside of us and deal with our sudden anger. It needs to be controlled. Our sinful anger needs to be condemned. Oh, Lord, my stubborn anger needs to be conquered. And Lord, allow me to channel my sanctified anger, my righteous anger, appropriately according to your timing. Speak to us today, Father. We surrender ourselves before you today, Father. Help us get a grip on how to live for you today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's quite a topic, isn't it, anger? I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for praying. And I want to thank you for your financial support of this ministry. Again, as we are in the new year, we continue to ask that you'd stop, think, and pray about supporting this ministry. If you believe these messages are relevant and that these messages need to be heard by those who believe and by those who are yet to believe, then I need you to come alongside of me, first prayerfully and then financially. And I ask you to, if the Lord just lead you in this direction, to make a check payable to the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Fact is, folks, we need your help in order to keep these messages on the air. We need you to come alongside of us, pray about it, and then ask God what he'd have you to do. And then encourage others to listen to this radio ministry each Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m., and yet at the same time, you can listen on Rogers Cable 927 or CFRA.com, catch the podcast, or on our website, Good News Christian Ministries. And now don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross, a church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life. That's right, a church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles and precepts and promises that are found within it. Father, we pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you, bringing honor and glory to your name. And now, my friends, may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. May you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope and love and truth. And may God's peace be yours, yes, even today. Amen. And the reality, my friends, is when you think you're going under, I want to challenge you to look up and to look to the one who can help you. That's what the psalmist said, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. And we can cry out musically, we can cry out prayerfully, Lord, Lord, I need you every hour. And we pray right now that we understand that the Lord is watching over us. That's what Psalm 121 says, he watches over us. Let's listen to Sandy Patty singing, His eye is on the sparrow. May God bless you.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.